Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Are you all well? Yo, this really is, I am so nervous. I must tell you, I was saying to Lee this afternoon, she knew what I was going to be sharing on, because I'm going to be doing a little bit of a follow-on from last week with what Russell shared. And I said to her, sure, I'm super nervous. And, you know, as I was speaking around the whole thing of the being under the power of the Holy Spirit and all of those things, and I said to her, I really want to carry God's heart this afternoon. And then she got anointed last week, and then her response was very much like this. She says, do you know, Ants, that God can speak through a donkey, eh? So I'm settled now. Now we get into what I'm going to preach. Father, this afternoon, I stand here as a son. My heart is to really carry your heart with what is about to be shared. And I want to pray for every man and every woman and every young person that is here today, Lord, that you would open up their hearts to what you want to drop into their hearts today. Lord, I'm the messenger. We often say, don't shoot the messenger. We need to hear you today, including myself, as I minister this word. I'm asking, Lord, that the right attitude, the right tone, and whatever it is that's required that will express your heart, Lord, will come through today. And I'm going to say, God, please, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first time today that I'm going to use my cell phone to go through this. I really hope that that's going to work. So I'm like really taking fat risk here. But last week, I think many of you would be reminded that Russell came to settle the three congregations because for those who are visiting, with three congregations that have come together, some wonderful changes happening, and there's been a consolidation with the purpose of us being deployed. And so there's going to be three congregations, essentially, that are going to be refreshed and revived, renewed. Pinehurst PM with some adjustments. We've got Brackenfell being led by Ryan and Tracy, and then myself and Lee, we will be going through to Cales River. And so God is on the move. And then what Russell did last week was he prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but for me, it was amazing to see how God moved last week. The first thing that was something that really resonated and stood out for me was the fact that we had two salvations. I mean, yeah, come on, let's celebrate that. It is beautiful. And then a number of folk, I would assume, and I'm saying assume because I haven't had any feedback on that, but people were prayed for speaking in tongues, and other people were just ministered to, and we just saw God move wonderfully in that context. But I felt like the Lord wanted us to really go back there and to focus a little bit deeper on that. And I'm titling this talk, for those who are making notes, Power for Purpose. And I want to go back to Acts 1, verses 8, please. And it says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so for me, one of the things that I felt that the Lord really wanted us to spend some time on this scripture and really get this thing into the very core of our being. And one of the things that I sensed that the Lord was saying, and I'm not saying that this is what we are doing, but I really felt like the Lord was saying, I want you to touch on something that is vitally important, because we don't want to be chasing the experiences and these moments. We need to understand what has taken place. And what Russell came to do here is vitally important for every saint, as we look at what God's going to be doing with us going forward. So I've brought my illustration with, and I'm just going to go with what I'm sensing. But for me, yes, I'm so nervous. Maybe someone can help me. Can you just fill that for me, please? So this is what happened last week. People got filled with the Holy Spirit. Both, please. Thank you. And it's spilling as well. It's beautiful. It's the overflow. Thank you. Thank you. So the thing is, with this illustration, thanks, Ron. And with this illustration, the idea is, I've got to ask the question with many of us. We received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Sunday. This is not a heavy. I'm asking us to really just search our hearts. What did the rest of the week look like after that? Do you know that if I left these glasses here for the last week, with the heat that we've had here, this would evaporate. It would get less. 3/4, half, in some cases, totally empty. Some cases, the emptiness of being filled by the Holy Spirit is life. And just the challenges that people are facing, so we as Christians can leak. Amen? And if I get an amen from this side, from Hihu, I'm paying him $10 every time he says amen. But the point is this. I think what the Lord is trying to say to us as a people, that when I fill you, there's a purpose. Are you pouring yourself out in your areas of influence, using your gifts, talents, abilities, and resources to reach the suburb, the city, this nation, and nations of the world? Even as we prayed for Gunter and Laura and Tembakazi, who's busy with the children, I'm trusting even today, as we had the infilling of the Holy Spirit last week, and even with what God's doing now, that there's a further outpouring upon their lives, that as they go, the gospel will go, and people's lives will be radically transformed. He will change them, and he's going to do some big work in them, but he will definitely work through them into the nations. And so we want to get to a place that we are mindful that we don't get stuck of just being filled. We have been consolidated. We are being filled by the Holy Spirit. And we are being deployed to go and fulfill a mission that God has called us onto. And so, I want to encourage us that as a people, we're called to walk in obedience. Because if we're walking in obedience with what God has done with us, the gospel will advance. And I'm going to try and unpack a few things for us as we go forward. Is this making sense for now? So I want to anchor a few things for us from the scriptures around what was shared last week. And this is really what was dropped in my heart. And I'm really trusting that it will be something that will give you something to think about in terms of your walk with the Lord. So with that, when we look at Acts 1 verses 8, the first point that you can put down there is power with a direction. It's actually very interesting that when you receive power, he says, you will be my witnesses. A few things that we can consider here. Power has direction. Power also has purpose. And then lastly with that, power moves us outward. And as a people, we cannot remain stagnant. We've got to understand what God is doing. And I think it's the most incredible thing that has happened because, you know, for 4.5 years, we've been leading DC in the middle of Durbanville. And then there's been the changes with Durbanville PM, and we're all coming together here. And I think the picture that has gone through my mind is that the Lord has dropped it. He says, I was preparing you all for this time. I'm actually bringing the gifts and the resources together. I'm going to mix it up a bit, and I'm sending you out. And we should see a fruitful harvest because of what God is doing in our lives. So it's very important that we realize that when the Holy Spirit comes on us, he doesn't terminate himself on us. The Holy Spirit comes on us, he works in us, and he works through us. And so we as a people need to be ready for that. It's very interesting. If we seek power without purpose, we distort Pentecost. I want to back it up with scripture. In Acts 2, we see what happened was the church came together and they said, let's build a moment so we can have experiences and moments. No, that's not what happened. They were praying. They were seeking God. And the next thing, the Spirit of God came upon the 120 in the upper room, as the Spirit of God could be doing here right now, hovering and touching people. And the next thing, what happened is, we see that from that place, the Spirit rested on Peter, the guy who denied Jesus. And the next thing, what does he do? He gets filled with courage, with boldness, and he stands up and he preaches the gospel, and 3,000 people get saved. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you read throughout the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came on people, there was ministry that took place. The gospel was preached and people got saved. Now, I want to be very clear on something this afternoon. I don't want us to become one-dimensional. There's many facets to the Holy Spirit. But this is one area that I felt that the Lord wanted us to mine into, to be mindful that when the power comes on us, it's for us to be a going people. Thank you, Abby. Thank you. So with that, we see that the overflow, that when Simon Peter preached, we know that there was the speaking of tongues. We see throughout the book of Acts, at different stages when the Holy Spirit broke in on people, there was healing. We see prophecy flowing. These are the normal things that should be happening in our midst. And the other thing that happened, which I'm really trusting will happen tonight, is that it says that the people started praising God. Because the Holy Spirit will always point us back to Him. It's all about glorifying Him. And so we need to be expectant of that. And I feel like He's just wanting to realign us in this area. I'm going to touch a little bit on this later on. I just want to be mindful that as I do speak about it, I'm not speaking against the manifestations or the gifts that have happened. What I am reminding us, though, is we are yet to pursue Jesus, not the gifts and the manifestations. The overflow is that I believe God will reveal and show Himself. He does it for a purpose, not to entertain us. Because the sad reality is the world wants to be entertained. But I want to say to you that people are also wanting authentic Christianity. One of the most powerful things we can do in a meeting is preach the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit and the Word combined. And we've got to preach Jesus. So, I want to remind us that we're not chasing those things. The goal here today, and that's the encouragement, is that we will witness. And I want to put this out to you. It says, if the Spirit fills us, someone should eventually hear the gospel because of us. As I was just getting my head and my heart around this afternoon, and I was genuinely like, Lord, I really want a heart of love to flow as I'm sharing this. But let me tell you why this statement becomes important. There's nearly 300 adults in this hall, and there's some that are serving our children's church today. So even as I preach, God is doing something there. But imagine if each one of us, and I say one of us, because I'm included, reached one person that is unsaved, unchurched, broken, hurt, messed up, and we invited them to a meeting, or even ourselves shared the gospel with them. If each one of us in the next week touched one person, do you think we are going to just be planting three churches? I want us to catch the heart of why we are here. Is this sobering? All right. Point number two. Jesus was anointed and sent. So if you can put up Isaiah 61, please, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And verse 2 is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Interestingly, if you go to Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, look at what that says. This is something that was prophesied 700 years before Christ. Jesus comes along in the Gospels. He stands up, he reads from the scroll, and he says exactly what was spoken of in Isaiah. And if we can go to verse 19, please. And says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. At the end of that, going into verse 20, he sat down and he was quiet. At that given moment when Jesus spoke, he says, that which was prophesied 700 years before he was there has now just been fulfilled before their very eyes. And he has now come to fulfill the mission that God had sent him on. And if you think about when Jesus got water baptized, what happened at that water baptism? Holy Spirit came down upon him like a dove. Straight after that, 40 days in the desert, God allowed him to be tested, but the power of God was with him all the time. And straight after that, he went and he preached that the kingdom of God is near, and people started to respond. So where does that leave you and I? And it's a very good question. Thanks for asking. Where does that leave us? In John 15, verses 16, those of you making notes, I haven't given it at the back. Jesus says, I have chosen you. I've chosen you, Wendy. Today, Ian, Naomi, I've chosen you. Justine, I've chosen you. But it didn't end there. He said, I also appointed you. And if you go and you read up what the word appointed means, it means that we have a task. It means we have something that we need to do. So he chooses you and he brings you on and he says, now I want you to go and bear much fruit. What is that fruit that we're talking about? It's not just what God does in our lives. He changes our character and he makes us more like Jesus. He changes our nature. We become more like Jesus. So there is transformation because that's the power of the gospel at work in us. But then what he does is he works in you and he works through you. And as you go, the fruitfulness is that we will go and fulfill the great commission of discipling the nations, reaching the lost, helping people to walk in the things of God. And proclaiming the gospel. And that which Jesus said he would be doing, the same applies to you and I. Look at the person on your left and right and say, the same applies to you and I. So we need to be reminded that the same Spirit who rested on Christ now indwells the church. He's not an attachment. He's often the forgotten person of the Trinity. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. We need his power, not just to go and plant churches, but just to live everyday life. And I feel that's what God wants to say to us. I want you to, on a daily basis, you should be asking the Lord to come and fill you. We should be crying out, but then, as he fills you, which he will do, because if you believe that by faith, then you've got to be totally convicted, because he wants to give you good things. And that the good thing is, he wants to give you himself, the Holy Spirit, but you don't want to stay there. You want to go and pour it out. As you go, be reminded that you're not the Messiah. He is. He died on the cross for people. He is the Messiah. We don't replace him, but we continue with his mission. Isn't it beautiful? You know, I often say to folk when we chat, I don't know why God chose me to lead a church. I wouldn't have. Honestly, I know what my background is like. It's crazy that the Lord would even consider using me. And some of my mates who know me, I can be quite a crazy guy at the best of times. But look, the Lord said to me, even in December, while we were on sabbatical, the Lord said to me at one point, I don't need you. He says, but I've chosen you. And he says, and sometimes even in your fleshly behavior, where you've even tried to lead the church fleshly, he says, let me tell you something, my grace is all the more abounded to you. So I stand here, not as someone who's got this waxed. I'm not speaking down to anybody, because I assure you of one thing I've learned over the years. When you speak from the pulpit, the Lord goes, is it? He really does. I'm very, very cautious. Yeah. And I want to honor him. Because otherwise what happens is, if I get too clever up here, he goes, well, let's have a look at this tomorrow morning. And then he puts you to the test. So the interesting thing is that as you've received power and as you're hearing what I'm saying, do you know that with greater knowledge that has been poured out, it's not, you know, they say knowledge, what's that word there? Knowledge with power? What puffs you up, yeah? Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, I've lost my train of thought there. Let me get back to. I was saying to Marco the other day, we were just having a chat. I like structure. So the minute I go, if the Lord wants to flood the riverbanks, he can do that. But I like to sort of keep an idea of where I'm going. And I just had a rabbit trail. That must be the devil. All right. So we have greater responsibility with what we're hearing now. And the thing is, what you hear is one thing, but what you do with it is another. I love the late Billy Graham. One of the things that often would happen is when he preached a message, after the message, like what a lot of people will come and do afterwards, yeah, they'll come and say, yes, but that was a great message, eh? And then he would look at them and he'd say, you know what? Thank you. He says, not so much that it's a great message. He says, I want to ask you one thing. What are you going to do with what you've heard? So, as we start to nosedive with the plane, just some quick things. Again, just to settle something in our hearts, the danger of chasing experiences cannot be emphasized enough. I'm not saying that we don't enjoy the experiences and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But if you are here just for that, you're in deep, deep trouble, because the Word of God teaches that we chase the Lord, not the gifts. The reality is, in modern Christianity, and these are some of the things that we face, much of modern Christianity has drifted into chasing moments. We evaluate services by how we felt. We evaluate meetings by its intensity. We evaluate God's presence by emotion. What is a good meeting? I don't know. I honestly don't. Is roaring praise a good meeting? I don't know. The only question I could probably put around roaring praise, did you feel good in the meeting or did he feel good? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He points us back to him. And so when he manifests himself, all glory has to go back to God. So, I want to touch on a few things, and I've got two prophetic words that I'm going to release as well. If we chase experiences, the church is going to limp and she's going to be immature. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Can I encourage you, go and read those chapters this week. And while you're making notes, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through to 8. You can go and read that as well. I'm going to touch on them now. But what's important here is that when we look at chapter 12, what is he doing? He's addressing a church that's got a little bit of consumerism. At that given time, they were chasing these things. The prophecy. Do you know that if we had to get a well-known prophet in here on a Sunday afternoon, all these empty chairs, do you know what would happen? If the area knew about it, you'll get every oak and his inner dussy coming in here to hear the prophet. And if you were like me, I would be wearing an orange shirt and I'm saying, pick me, pick me. But that's what happens. People chase these things. And he's saying, I don't want you to chase the gifts. He affirms the gifts given by the Holy Spirit. So you can go and read that. Chapter 13. Love is central to the gifts that are being poured out and that which we're being blessed with. If you do not have a love for God and a love for his people, but you've got gifts that you can work with, they are just a clanging noise. They mean absolutely nothing. And it's interesting, if you go and read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, it tells you about the various gifts. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices, the things that are pleasing to God. And then it gives you the gifts, which are gifts that most of us, we have common grace gifts given to us. But very interesting, what has really stirred my heart is from verse 9 in that same chapter, it also speaks about love. And so we need to have a love for God, a love for his people. And as the Holy Spirit comes on us, he will not only empower us, but he releases gifts so that we can actually use those gifts to actually glorify and worship him so that the gospel can advance and the kingdom of God advances. And so that's what Paul was doing. So As God blesses us, last week, I believe, in my heart, emphatically, the Lord did not just empower people, but he actually released gifts over some of you who have been sitting on those gifts, and they've been pretty dormant. And the Lord is actually wanting to stir up, and he's saying, I need you to start getting activated. And some of us are going to need to get out of our comfort zones and actually start actually doing what God is calling us to do. And I'm going to give some examples now. I want to remind you that the gifts God gives you and how he empowers you is to build the church, to strengthen her, to comfort her. And imagine what God could do with us if we're in our areas of influence. And this is where it gets very, very interesting. Because in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, these are some of the gifts that they have. So I'm just going to quickly jump to them. They're not up there because we don't have the internet available to us today. But in Romans 12, we have prophecy, we have serving, we have teaching, we have encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. I can send that on to you. 1 Corinthians 12, words of wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, interpretation of tongues, and then 1 Corinthians 14 further, prophecy, tongues with interpretations. That's just the list of it. But this is where it gets very interesting, because as I'd been preparing this, Kathy, I see you over there. The Lord dropped you in my heart this week. And this is what I felt the Lord show me, because I think you're still involved with food and that, if I recall correctly. What I saw the Lord show me was that you were handing out sandwich, but you were giving a free sandwich. So don't go saying, hey, I want a sandwich. All right, she runs a business. But I felt like the Lord was going to give you specific people that he's... Your discernment levels are going to increase. I don't know what your discernment is like, but what I do sense is your gift of hospitality is very strong. You have the ability to really be a blessing around food, but the discernment is going to rise because the Lord's going to give you specific people that he wants you to bless with a sandwich, but it doesn't end there because the Lord is going to open up the opportunity for you either to give a little note to say, something of encouragement, or for you to be able to minister to them. And I can see you praying with people and encouraging people. And the Lord wants to use your gift, your passion, to let the gospel flow.
Come on, Kathy.
Then there's somebody here. I really felt there's somebody here that works for a company who the company's really struggling. And you have been in a space where you have consistently been overlooked for promotion. And the problem is, and this is what I'm sensing, so I'm just putting it out faithfully there. The problem is, what's happening is the people that are being promoted are actually aiding the company in its current situation. And I felt like the Lord was saying to somebody here, I'm going to give you a Joseph moment. The people, you feel that you have been passed by, but the Lord is saying to you, if I can take a man from jail and I can bring him to a place where he will answer dreams, the man with the vision gets the job and he goes from jail to second in command. If that is you, please, will you come and chat to myself or to one of the elders up front? I think it's always good to test these moments. But I felt like the Lord is going to stir you up and he's going to give you boldness and courage for you to go and sit in front of your boss and say, I feel like I've got something that can really help the company. Are you open? And I feel like the Lord is going to anoint you and he's going to bless you and he's going to use you and he's going to turn things around. Amen. Now I've got to land. Is this making sense? So with this, what is in your hands? What are you going to do with what God has blessed you with? How are you going to use what he has anointed you with to be a blessing in your areas of influence? This is important. And I feel like the Lord really wants to encourage each and every single one of us in this area. And as I'm starting to land here, the power that produces bold witness is what comes from the Holy Spirit. And this is where it gets interesting. When we look at the power coming on Peter, who denied Christ, he preached publicly. Acts 4:31 says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Paul was touched by the Holy Spirit. He persecuted the church. He hunted Christians down. And what happened was the Lord anointed him and he preached the gospel, and the rest is history, because that's why we are here. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we remain silent, I want to say to you that something is misaligned. I do appreciate some of us are very quiet people, and that's okay. That's part of your personality. But do you believe that the power of God can change your personality so that the gospel can be preached? That you can share the gospel with people? It doesn't have to be up front. It can be one-on-one with folk. Be ready to be used by God. And part of today, I believe the Lord is just realigning us all to remind us, doesn't matter what your personality is, it doesn't matter where you come from or what your background is. If God can take someone like me that comes out of a very messed up background and bring me to this place, what more could he do with you and that are sitting there? You got to be ready to be used. Don't be afraid. I'm going to pray for us at the end here now, but don't be afraid to stand up and give the encouragement and the hope that people need to hear. I want to share a story of Madagascar. I've been to Madagascar 10 times. And I was in a situation where I had to preach, and I was way more nervous than I was today. And what had happened was I was going to preach on the infilling of the Holy Spirit so that the church people could receive tongues and all of those things. And what happened was I was going to the American embassy, and it was a French-speaking church. And the pastor's wife and a few folk came to fetch me at that hotel that I was staying in. And on the way to the meeting, she says, "So what are you preaching on?" I said to her, "I'm going to be preaching on the infilling of the Holy Spirit." And she went dead quiet. And then she said, "I don't know that that's going to be a good topic to preach on, because these people are intellectuals. These people are very clever, and I don't know that this is going to work for these people, and it's probably not going to be an appropriate message." And I was like, on the way, I was going, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And I felt the Lord say, "Drop the hammer and go." I got up, and I preached on the Holy Spirit. When we prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, multitudes of people were filled with the Holy Spirit that morning. A guy comes up to me, he says to me, "My name is Victor. Will you please pray for my wife?" Not knowing anything else, I looked at him, I said, "Victor, your wife has got cancer and the Lord is going to heal her." And he just wept, and I started praying. And when I left the island, a year later, I went back, and I was super nervous to go back, because I thought this is one of those moments that what had happened that morning, if you get that wrong, I was going to get stoned. And that wasn't on marijuana. That was going to be with rocks being chucked at me. And the most amazing thing happened is a year later, I go and I'm preaching, I'm doing some leadership stuff, and I'm giving the word there. And then at the end of the meeting, this guy walks up to me, he says to me, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Yes, your name is Victor." And he says, "I need you to know my wife was healed." This is not about me. Glory to the Lord. I'm an ordinary man. But God takes ordinary people and he does extraordinary things with them. If you are willing and are obedient, he will do what he needs to do through you. And I need to land now. I've gone over half an hour. But that's fine, because I've only got a few lines left. And the Holy Spirit is on me and he'll help me deal with this issue. Friends, in light of that, it's time. It's time for us to move out into the suburbs. It's time for us to move out into the city. It's time for us to move out into the nations. We've got family going now already, but we've also got people that need to go into the other nations of the world. It's time. It's time. We cannot camp any longer. You need to understand what God has called you and I to. Right now, as we sit here, there are people in our community who don't know Jesus, and they are going to go to hell. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to stir us up to get hungry and thirsty and to trust him, to empower us and to give us the wisdom and to guide us as we go out from this place today. Use your gifts, your talents, and abilities to serve him. Be open. Be obedient. Be ready to pray. Be ready to encourage. Young people alike, don't let anybody look down on you, because young people, you can minister to the older folk as well. Because when the power of God is on you, anything is possible. And I land with this. He's chosen, God has chosen to use the church, you and I, the ecclesia, the called out ones, to go. This is not optional Christianity. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. We have a responsibility. If we ignore the mission, we step outside what we were initially saved for. Obviously to worship him, but actually God has got more for us. I want to ask you today. We were prayed for last week, and I don't know that God is going to manifest himself. I haven't come with a message to make us feel good about ourselves. But I want to ask you, if you have a conviction in your heart, we say, Lord, I believe that you will empower me and you're going to fill me again where I've leaked, or maybe some of us have ministered. I believe you will fill me again. And that tonight, I want to commit to you that when I leave this place, I'm going to go and make my life count for you. I am going to go and do what your word says. I'm going to go and witness. I'm going to pray. I'm going to encourage. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to use my gifts, talents, abilities, and resources to see your kingdom advance. If you are with me on that one, I want you to stand and I'm going to pray for us. Be serious. This is not about me. This is about us understanding the mission. Father, I want to thank you for every man and every woman and every young person that is standing here today. Lord, we remind ourselves that Jesus is the one who is the dispenser of his Holy Spirit. You are the one, Lord, who pours your Spirit out on us. And we are so grateful because many of us have experienced the outpouring. And there have been manifestations, but today, Lord, particularly, we want to receive boldness and courage from you. We want to receive a word from you and an encouragement from you and an empowerment from you to be able to go out and to fulfill the Great Commission, Lord. Lord, where there is fear, I break it now in the name of Jesus. And I say, Lord, fill us with boldness, Lord, that we will go and testify of what you have done for us. And I want to thank you this morning, Lord, or this afternoon, sorry, Lord, that with all conviction in our hearts, that we know that you have filled us. And we will now go. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to end of this while you're standing, if I may. God speaks to me through sport. So humor me. But let's do this together with the heart to say, Lord, we want to go. And I don't know if you guys ever watch tennis, but Carlos Alcaraz really has inspired me. And I love it that every time he plays a good shot, what does he shout? Vamos! Let's go. So I want to ask you, can we make a prophetic statement today? And let's shout, vamos, let's go. Are you guys ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Vamos, let's go. One more time, let's try that again. One, two, three. Vamos, let's go.